Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dragons of Dark by Ava Richardson. Narrated by Will Dameron and Sarah Malo Christensen. Prologue. The Ceremony. The Salamander Prophecy. Old and young will unite to rule the land from above. Upon the dragon's breath comes the return of the true king. It will be his to rebuild the glory of Torvald. Date and author unknown. Hakon Maddox. My brother Vance had not made as much noise as the others had when he finally died. I should have known he would be stubborn to the last. Almost a true Maddox, I'll give him that much. Were it not for his foolish moment of weak-heartedness over the Flamma Torvald child, I might even have spared him for a few years, perhaps. But enough of this. The Maddoxes have always been a strong family. We have to be. We are the chosen. Vance should have known the law of the Maddoxes would prevail. Strength alone matters, and we all must struggle. The citadel of Torvald is now mine, and with it comes the key to the three kingdoms. The only thing which stands in my way are those infernal dragon riders, with their simpering monks and priests, cowering in their academy on the mountain above. "Sire," a voice says from the chamber door. It must be some mewling servant. I haven't even tried to learn their names. Why bother? We go through them so quickly. "Well, what is it?" I snap, enjoying the look of terror on his face for a moment as he stutters. "The advisors, my Lord Maddox. They have said it is time. All is ready." The servant studies the floor at his feet. "Good," I think. "If the people fear me, then they will obey me, which is why I devised the ceremony." Saying nothing, servants don't deserve the right to chit-chat with their new king. I stand up, smooth my purple robes, and progress through the marble-tiled hallways to the top tower, where I have summoned my closest advisors and seers. Together they will witness the ceremony which will proclaim me as the rightful ruler of the Middle Kingdom, and forever banish the dragons and the dragon riders from these lands. Ah! My knee seizes up, the joints knotting in the agonies of the aged. If only my body wasn't cursed with this decrepitude. But of course, the ceremony will fix all of that. After tonight, I will not be cursed with such aches and pains. "Sire?" The servant rushes forward, seeking to aid me. "Get away from me!" I hiss. How could the oaf have been so stupid as to think I, Hakon Maddox, needed help? Ever. "You must have some other tasks to perform, or shall I find one for you?" The servant must have known instinctively he would not like that option, and scuttled out of my sight. My protesting feet take me past the hallways to the stone stairs leading upwards to the site of the ceremony itself on the rooftop. Even when my back is racked with spasms, I carry on, knowing as I do how the pain will soon be in the past. The scent of heavy incense grows on the air, bringing the low murmuring of the chants with it. We Maddoxes have always had something special about us, something which connected us with the deepest and darkest of mysteries. The citizens of this place say us Maddoxes are not even fully human, that we are part storm, part eagle, and part wolf. The hairs on the back of my neck rise as my feet take me closer and closer. I sense the nearness of the magic itself. It is almost midnight, and the pale faces which turn to meet my gaze are riveted with fear. My advisers stand in a circle on the open tower top, each one with a candle at their feet, whilst in the center of the circle an ancient iron brazier burns, releasing plumes of the incense into the night air above, the sky clouded and starless. Some of those assembled here are even my own captains and lieutenants, as well as my own seers and witches.
Hail Hakon Maddox! Hail the storm that devours! Hail the new king!
The chant continues, as the assembled advisers mumble in fear. I look around the circle, my ancient eyes barely making out the details of their faces, but I recognize the attendees from their shapes. I nod, raising my hands to encourage them to keep up their chant, letting the words swirl around me, growing stronger and more confident at my encouragement. In response to the chant, the magic within my bones answers. It feels like an intoxicating change in the tide of my blood, as if the magic within me were drawing all power in the world to me, to be mine, to use just as I wish, to topple or take whatever I want. I can smell the terror in my advisors' hearts, even as their chanting rises to the skies, echoing and reverberating down into the city itself. They fear me and my power, even as their hearts were so recently shaken by the sight of so many dragons. But their fear of me is the key. I will show them the dragons are just beasts, monsters, things which eat flesh and drink the life from them, and then these people will hate the dragons much more than they can ever hate me. They think me a monster, but all of that is going to change. My magic wraps around that fear and tugs at it. The assembled chanters gasp as their hearts shift, drawn to my will. By concentrating the ancient powers of my line, I can feel their terror like a pool of deep power, ready to be drained, and the people of Torvald have had much to be afraid of. They have seen their city seized and their soldiers killed by my iron guard. They have watched their dragon riders flee. Their fear is delicious, and I sup on it greedily, letting it flow all around me.
Hail Hakon Maddox, the advisors stammer, and their teeth chatter with fright.
Their courage is almost gone, and their anxiety almost total. They can no longer run away, and they will do anything to make their horror dissipate. I focus all of that terror into one image, dragons, and bind the fear to the image with a single word, laden with arcane power. Break. I intone. Lightning flashes, and from somewhere a mournful call echoes, as if from a shrieking seabird. The chanting subsides, and the assembled people here on the tower mumble and stagger, their hearts now suddenly suspicious and unsure.
You have done well, my beloved chosen ones!
I congratulate them. The first part of the ceremony is done. I have taken the key members of this society, as well as my own company, and used them as scapegoats for the greater magic. They are my totems, my sacrificial offerings to the dark magic itself. At my words, the weakest of my captains falls to the floor, thrashing on the ground as the life drains from his body. And into mine. with a feeling like plunging into a cool pool on a hot day. I am drenched in power and vitality. It pours and bubbles through me. The second to fall is a witch of my own army, who merely bows her head in terrified acceptance as she crumples, feeding me with even more power. One by one, the great and the good of the city fall, leaving none who had stood close to me at all. I have sacrificed even my own advisors for this great feat. No matter. I have my iron guard, and I can always select a new council. For the rest of the citizens, my power will worm its way into their hearts less dramatically, less fatally. I will start by overtaking their dreams. Terrible nightmares will afflict them every time they think of dragons. It will take a generation, perhaps, for the people of the Middle Kingdom to fear the dragons and then finally to entirely forget they ever existed in anything more than myths and nightmares. Once the link between human and dragon is severed, the citadel will truly be mine. I can wait. Time is, after all, just what I have. Now the lives of so many have fed mine. I turn and walk away from the collapsing bodies on the tower top and down the steps on young and rejuvenated feet. When I meet the same servant as before, he looks at me with wide eyes and gaping mouth, seeing the change which has come over me. Luckily for him, the sight of my crown and robes quickly sends him to his knees.
Who, sire?
The servant asks in confusion.
Lord Madox, my deeper and younger voice intones. You will refer to me as Lord Enric Madox.
Part 1. Aftermath. Chapter 1. Saffron, worried.
Fly! Fly!
Ryland had bellowed at us right before he launched his futile attack against King Enric. But I hadn't seen blood. I hadn't seen Ryland fall, I told myself for the second time as I washed my face, trying to wash away the memory of the same bad dreams which had been haunting me every night since the battle against Enric's forces. Every night, I saw Ryland, the war chief of Three Rivers, dying, sacrificing himself for all of us as he distracted King Enric long enough for us to evade his terrible dark magic. It was all my fault. I should have been able to defeat King Enric, and I couldn't. You're too weak, I scolded myself again and again. And yet I was a Madox, descended from the brother of the original Madox usurper. The same blood, the same magic which had killed Ryland, ran through my veins and King Enric's. Then why couldn't I stop it from happening? I wondered as I pushed away from the bowl of freezing cold mountain water which Tan, the Three Rivers boy, had supplied. I hadn't even noticed. A cool breeze was pulling the door of the tent open, raising goosebumps on my arms. Outside, I could see the white-covered peaks beyond, high and looking unreal over the browns, grays, and greens of the high mountain wilds where we camped. That is why you have me stand guard over you as you sleep. The warm reptilian mind of my den sister Jadra pressed itself against mine, sending courage and strength into me. If only you can stand guard against my dreams as well, I said glumly. Perhaps Jadra and Saffron are one. She reiterated the ancient refrain, and I bowed my head for a moment of peace. It was true. There was a place between us where the dragon that was Jadra and the human that was Saffron became one, and in that joining we became something other. I didn't understand it, yet I knew that it was true. There was a nervous clearing of a throat outside the open doorway. That would be Tan, our sort of squire. "It's okay, you can come in, Tan," I called out, and the young tribal kid, eyes fixed to the floor, stepped through the canvas tent flap.
"It's, about Lord Bower, ma'am," the boy said awkwardly.
"You don't have to call him that." I smiled again, knowing Bower himself hated it when people bowed and scraped around him. Not to me, anyway. After all, I saw him turn green as a parrot and lose his breakfast when he first flew upside down. I tried to make the boy smile. Tan was only a handful of years younger than Bower and me, but already had the surly, wary watchfulness of the Three Rivers people. He, like everyone else in the camp, was clearly unsure of who might be in charge. The mountain clans had never had kings and queens. They had chiefs and wise people, and all of them had got to that position by dint of being the most intelligent, or the strongest, or the most cunning in battle. Like Ryland had been, I thought, with a wince. He had been their war chief, and ever since Bower and I had returned with the other untrained tribal dragon riders without him, everyone was asking what we should do next.
"Lord Bower wants to see you at your earliest convenience, but only if you are not sleeping, because he told me that you needed to get some good sleep after..."
Tan suddenly went pale, even though he was just repeating the words of my friend. "It's okay, Tan. Bower was right. And I guess my earliest convenience would be now," I said, "as long as we can get breakfast on the way." I found Bower standing amid a circle of his advisors, tall Three Rivers warlords and wise women who were arguing about something. Still, when I nodded and said his name, he turned his head as if some invisible thread connected us over the noise and the commotion and beckoned me closer.
"Saffron, you look as tired as I feel."
He kept his voice low as we stepped away from the others into the fresh mountain breeze. "Just having nightmares again," I said without thinking. "Nightmares about Ryland dying. Not that bad."
"Liar."
He frowned.
"But was it the other dreams?"
He lowered his voice even more until it was just a whisper. I shook my head. He meant the strange waking dream which he, Jadra, and I had become locked inside of one night before the battle. King Enric had created a magical trap, using powers which I didn't even know were possible to extract from us the location of the Three Rivers clan. Only my connection to Jadra and Bower's to the other dragons had finally broken the spell.
"Thank the skies,"
Bower whispered, and I could only agree. So far, neither of us had told anyone else about that strange experience, not even the Dragon Queen Isix, as we were still too terrified of what it might mean. Could Enric do that sort of magic whenever he wanted? Could he invade any dreams like that, or just mine because of my Madoc's blood? How could we protect ourselves against such an invisible attack?
"But you still need sleep," Bower said gently. "You can't try to stop yourself."
"I can," I thought, despite all evidence to the contrary. I had been trying to stay awake since it had happened, long into the night, or volunteering for every watch shift I could, but to no avail. I had always ended up falling asleep in the late hours past midnight and waking up in the cold grays before dawn, feeling just as exhausted as if I hadn't slept. "Maybe if I keep busy," I whispered, telling Bower how I planned to defend my mind against King Enric. "If I tire myself out so I can't even dream, then..."
"But you are dreaming. You said so."
Bower frowned.
"And it doesn't do you or anyone any good if you are exhausted the next day at your post,"
he said, a little sharply. Almost spoken like a real king, I thought. Okay, I know what you mean. This can't go on forever. But we'll find a way, I'm sure.
Actually, that's why I asked Tan to fetch Mother Gorlas here.
Bauer indicated the wise woman for the Three Rivers clan, who was regarding me with shrewd and cold eyes. She looked older than Vere, with thick gray hair still streaked with black, and a face deeply lined with wrinkles and dotted tattoos.
Maybe there is something in her herbs that can help you.
I couldn't believe it. Did Bauer not trust me? Did he really think that I was going to let them all down again, just like I had allowed Ryland to die? I don't want some potion or concoction, I hissed, almost stamping my foot and feeling like a child. Is that why you asked me to come here? To get me drugged up with some herb or another? Did he really think this was a preferable option to how I was handling the danger?
Saffron.
Bauer creased his brow, looking pained and worried at the same time. At that moment, I felt a surge of temper at him. How dare Bauer Flama Torval Daris, the boy who I had taught to ride a dragon, suggest I needed help? Bauer, who would be nothing without me and my dragon at his side.
Saffron, I mean it when I say that I can't have you falling asleep at your post. You're our head trainer for every would-be rider here. I can't have you being a danger to—
You think I'm going to endanger all of us, don't you? You think I can't control my own mind? The thought that he didn't trust me cut deeper than the thought that I was susceptible to Enric's mind magic. We had been through so much already, battling the king in the Citadel, fleeing to the Isles, then returning to battle him once again.
It's not your mind I'm worried about, Saffron,
he murmured.
It's your magic.
He was trying to be as gentle and as reassuring as possible, keeping his voice low and calming. But the words hit me as an insult. If you don't think I can control myself, then perhaps you shouldn't rely so much on me, I snapped, turning on my heel and walking away from the would-be king of the Middle Kingdom and the only person whom I had ever called my friend.
Chapter 2. Bauer. King in name only. Saffron, I said in exasperation, as she stalked angrily away from me. Saffron, I called, but it was clear she had no intention of either stopping or turning. Lord Bauer, Vere said, his gray eyebrows and mustache quivering with either delight or outrage. Shall I send the warriors to seize her for you? No, I said quickly. I didn't want to think what would happen if Saffron was suddenly surrounded by burly warriors of the tribe, and I wasn't sure who would win in that brawl either. No, leave her be. We've known each other for a long time, and she...
She is ill, sire? Tired by the recent fighting, perhaps?
Asked Mother Gorlas, her voice as croaky as flints being struck against each other.
It sends a bad signal to the rest of the clan, Vere continued gruffly. A leader in your position cannot afford any insubordination.
It's not insubordination, it's just Saffron, I snapped. If I had known the role of king would mostly involve arguing and endless talking, then I would have begged the dragons never to reveal it. Life is so much easier for dragons, I thought, as I lifted my eyes to look up into the sky, to watch their swoops and circles. Down here at ground level, it seemed Vere would harumph and try to dissuade me, but a hand which felt like paper settled on my elbow and pinched, hard. It was Mother Gorlas at my side, squinting at me like a naughty child.
Lord Bauer, what was it you were telling us about preparations for the day? Wasn't there something you needed Chief Vere's expertise on?
She raised her eyebrows pointedly.
It is a pleasure to help the future king of Torvald, Vere said automatically,
in a way which was too quick and too sudden for me to take seriously. Despite how he dressed, the leathers and pelts and the number of daggers he had all around his person, Veer seemed to me more like those sorts of nobles and lords I used to see at the Torvald law courts, the ones who would agree with any decision from the king, and were always jockeying for power and influence. He wasn't as bad as they had been. They had stood by while the king senselessly condemned people to lifelong imprisonment, or worse. But there was something about him I didn't like, all the same. Yes, you're right, Mother Gorlas. We need to pack up and continue to move deeper into the mountains if we want to stay ahead of... Of the army of Enric, I thought, but stopped short of saying. It really did sound like we were running away, when I preferred to think of it as regrouping.
If we want to find the Stone Tooth Clan, Mother Gorlas supplied smoothly.
The who? I turned my head to question the wise woman at my side.
You cannot be serious, old woman, Veer snapped,
and looked at her with an unabashed hatred. He knew they were in trouble.
Great. This is all I need.
Two of my closest advisors are already at each other's throats.
The Stone Tooth Clan, Mother Gorlas spoke imperiously, are clearly the only logical choice for us. We need allies, and they are the closest. They are no friends to Torvald, after all. They have never been friends to the Three Rivers Clan, either.
Veer turned to me.
Lord Bower, I understand Ryland and the rest of the Circle of Chiefs put their faith in you, and I understand you have the trust of the great dragons of the world. But you still have a lot to learn of our ways, the people and clans of the mountains. There is much you should be wary of before taking such counsel heedlessly, he said heavily.
I never take counsel heedlessly, Chief Veer, I said, trying to put the same tone of authority in my voice my father once had. To me, the effect sounded petulant or arrogant, and Veer merely inclined his head.
As you wish, sire. What were your orders again? He said.
This is all such a mess. What do I know about such things? My orders? We are to continue north at good speed if we can, I said, trying to dredge up every lesson I had learned from the books and scrolls from my father's library. He had tried to prepare me for this eventuality, knowing as he did who I really was and what I represented. I was no longer Bower of Darris, heir to a ruined fortune and crumbling mansion in the Citadel. I was Bower of Flamma Torvald, the union of the two oldest lines of the Citadel's royalty. Or at least I had to act like I thought I was. However, Chief Veer, I went on, it is true I do not know the ways of these mountains as well as you, so I would ask you to help me by picking the best scouts and working with them to find an easily defensible route through, one that is big enough for the entire clan, yet difficult for the Iron Guard to follow behind us. Veer bristled.
That is quite an ask, Lord Bower, but nothing the people of the Three Rivers can't accomplish, of course. We are a tough people. Those who live in the wilds of the world.
Yes, you clearly are, I complimented him.
And the issue of how we organize these meetings? Veer asked lightly.
What do you mean? I looked doubtfully between him and Mother Gorlas. The scowl on her face had only deepened as Veer spoke.
We lost so many of our leading warriors during the last battle with King Enric, and with them went their power, their influence, and their opinions, Veer said heavily, nodding along with the two younger chieftains, who appeared to agree with everything he said. You might call this situation an emergency, Lord Bower, but soon enough there will be many other questions we have to answer. How do we properly give respect to the fallen and their grieving families? How many goats are the people of the Three Rivers to give the dragons in order to keep them happy?
You don't need to keep the dragons happy, I burst out.
The very thought of bribing a dragon, or even trading with one, showed just how deeply Veer and many of the other clan's people still didn't understand the dragon.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?